Welcome back to the Native Waters on Arid Lands podcast, where we're talking with different members of our research team about their work. I'm Kelsey Fitzgerald, and I'm here today with two members of our project team, Megan Collins and Dr. Richard Gisoni, who work at the Desert Research Institute in Reno, Nevada, and have been putting together a faculty research partnership program that pairs faculty from here at DRI with tribal faculty members and students to do scientific research projects. Hi, Richard and Megan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Megan, to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and area of expertise?
Absolutely. I've been at DRI for a little over 18 months. My position here involves supporting the STEM pipeline with respect to career development for individuals who are interested in getting into STEM or furthering their talents in STEM. And I also support experiential learning and lifelong learning programs. I mainly focus on higher education, and I do also quite a bit with the public. For example, I initiated a Science Cafe series, the first one in Northern Nevada. We've got a citizen science project that we're piloting and have been involved with a lot of other partnerships within the system of higher education here in the state.
And Richard, how about you? What's your background and area of expertise?
So my background is in plant physiology and crop science, crop production. I've been here at DRI for going on 14 years now. Most of my work involves environmental impacts on plant productivity. That ranges from agricultural plants to native vegetation, working with water issues within the state of Nevada, but also in California, groundwater issues, also looking at how plants respond to their environment in terms of temperature stresses, nutrient stresses, elevated CO2 work.
So I understand that you've both been working to set up a faculty research partnership program to get tribal faculty and students involved with the Native Waters Project. Megan, can you tell us a little bit about how this idea came about?
I would love to. If you're a listener out there, you're probably thinking, oh, wow, there's a lot of acronyms and institution names, so I'll just take a second and start at the beginning. Native Waters on Arid Lands, as you know, is a group of researchers from several different universities and tribal extension programs throughout the western United States and one in Ohio. There is also a network of colleges and universities called Tribal Colleges and Universities that were established under legislation that was enacted in 1994. So these 1994 institutions all have certain qualifying criteria with respect to their relationships with federally recognized tribes. And there is a group that supports these tribal colleges and universities called the First Americans Land Grant Consortium, or FALCON. And the Native Waters Project has been liaising quite a lot with FALCON to make sure that we are providing the most relevant capacity building relationships and support that we can. And so the executive director of FALCON is John Phillips, and he will be on a future podcast, as I understand, so keep your eyes out. And he has been for a number of years involved with capacity building initiatives, including a survey of tribal college and university students. And it became clear through this survey that there is not a very clear pipeline between the tribal colleges and graduate school programs, partly because many of the TCUs or the tribal colleges do not have research programs at the undergraduate level to build the skills necessary to make that leap into graduate school. And so in brainstorming how we can better support students as part of this project and the STEM pipeline as a whole, we developed this idea of a faculty-to-faculty research partnership where a research faculty member from here at the Desert Research Institute partners with the Tribal College faculty member. They co-design a project which can be implemented on-site at the TCU, and then it can be used as an opportunity for students to get involved to gain that research experience and the skills that they may want to use in their future careers.
Richard, you are the DRI faculty partner for the pilot run of this program. Can you tell us some of the details of the research project that you've been setting up?
So we've started to set up a research project working in collaboration with Brian Greb-Leonis at Ani Nakota College, which is in Montana. And we're setting up a program where students can get hands-on research experience, where they can get experience from setting up a project, installing instrumentation at the site, collecting data, and also doing some laboratory experience. So they get the field and laboratory experience. So what we've set up is an irrigation experiment in the community gardens that are on campus. Produce from the community gardens actually go to the community. So working in the garden and looking at different projects in that garden directly impact the community. And so Brian and I came up with the irrigation treatments because it fits directly with this project, looking at how water is used and the most efficient way of using water on tribal lands. And so this irrigation treatment experiment really kind of fits in directly with this project. So what the students will get to do is they'll really start off sitting down with Brian and I and going over how the project's going to be done. So how it's set up, why are we doing the things that we're doing, how you replicate a study. And then we'll get into actually, for the field component of the study, actually really getting out into the field and installing sensors, digging holes in the ground to put in soil sensors, putting up a meteorological tower to measure air temperature and wind speed. We'll also have some sensors that'll measure relative humidity within the canopy, which will give us some indications of water use also. We're going to keep it relatively small right now, but we're going to have two different water treatments. One's 100% water treatment. The other one's either going to be 25 or 50% of that 100%. The 100% being what is actually used in the community garden right now to grow those crops. The two crops that we're going to be looking at are corn and lettuce. And those are two crops that have been traditionally grown in the community garden. And so the students will get the whole experience of setting things up, digging holes in the ground, wiring sensors, and that type of thing. Then there's also going to be a laboratory component to that project where they're going to be able to look at soil nutrients and be able to look at changes in nutrient composition from between the two irrigation treatments. So they'll collect that data starting in the late spring and throughout the summer and into the fall. So they'll get that whole experience for quite a few months. During the project then, what they'll be doing during the summer is, out in the field anyway, as the crops are growing, they'll be able to take plant height measurements so they can get at growth rate, and they can just do measurements with a ruler that show differences in height and then look at that data. At the end of the study, we'll harvest everything and see if there's any differences in biomass production yield at the end of the study. So that brings us all the way to the end. So from installation to collecting data, and once they have all their data, then they can write it all up. They can make graphs of the data, then they can interpret their results, do some statistics on it, see if there's any statistical differences and any changes that they might see, and then write a report.
Megan, what do we hope that the research partners will get out of this experience?
From my point of view, squarely nested within a career development and experiential learning perspective, I am hoping that the faculty partners can establish a more extensive network of research partners and also more extensive program at their home university if they choose to continue involving themselves in inquiry through research. For the students, I hope that they gain the skills also related to inquiry, that if they want to take that into their future careers or graduate school, that they are more empowered having learned something from this research process.
And how about you, Richard? What are you hoping that the partners will get out of this?
From the student research project, really, I think there's two things. One, for the student side, you know, the students get the experience of how to do research. So they get the hands-on experience. You know, they learn things in classrooms, but really being out in the field or in the lab really takes it to another level where they really have the hands-on experience of what it really takes to do a research project from setup to harvesting to writing it up. But it also helps the college in building research capacity. And then it also helps the community because those people within the community who are learning these things, the students and at the college, get to benefit from this. You know, what are the benefits of looking at how water is used and how it impacts crop production, and then, of course, the food that's available to the community. So I think it helps the students, the college, and the local communities where the research is being done.
That's great. And Richard, how is the research program that you're developing enhancing our understanding of the relationship between water and agriculture for these tribal communities?
I think most of it in terms of water issues, you know, as there's been changes in climate or just basically less water available for whatever reasons, you know, understanding how you can produce a crop with, let's just say, less water can you do it? And what are the impacts then on the community? I mean, if you have less water in 1 year and you don't have enough water to, you know, to put onto your crops, really, what do you do about that? And hopefully maybe things can be figured out before you get to that point. And so this project, if you're looking at the results of the research, you can maybe apply those to situations before you get to them. So if you already know that less water, say our treatment's 50% and we have less water and we have 50% less yield, we know that that impact of less water is going to be pretty devastating to the yield that we're going to be getting at that crop, which then translates into less of that crop available for the community. So, you know, everybody in arid lands struggles with water availability. It's just kind of the nature of being in an arid environment. And so it's really how you manage that. In years where there's plenty of water, then, you know, I think you still need to manage it. And in years where there's little amount of water, you just don't have that available. And so you have to figure out strategies of how to cope with that, you know, and how do you handle years with less water? Or, you know, maybe it's a year, maybe it's several years where you don't have the water available. And what kinds of things can you do agriculturally to maybe get around that? Are there different planting strategies? Are there different ways of irrigating? Are there more efficient crops that you can use? And those types of things that kind of get you through those tough times, you know, droughts or times when there's just less water available.
So how many partnerships have we set up so far, and do we anticipate expanding this program to other colleges and universities in the future?
This program with Ani Nakota College is our pilot program. We are very excited to be working with them in conjunction with Falcon. Falcon initially circulated the request for partnership proposals, and we anticipate over the next couple of years being able to fund up to 2 partnerships per year, including faculty and students. So this is a very exciting program that is growing.
Richard, what are your goals for the program in the coming year?
As Megan mentioned, this is a pilot program, so we're going to learn a lot of things along the way. But I think the main goals of this project is to get this research project up and going, getting a student on board for this summer, and trying to figure out what types of experiences the students are really getting. And so the first student is really going to be very helpful to us to say, this is what I really learned from it. What I'd really like to see is this, and we can then implement that for other years. So I think the first student, one goal is that they get a great hands-on research experience, but they're also going to be able to help us out a lot in learning how the experience worked for them. And then hopefully their experience will help out with other students and then other colleges along the way.
Great. And Megan, what are your goals as the program moves forward?
Building on what Richard said, I'm interested through the evaluation process in determining what works, how we can tailor this program to best support capacity building, and also how to structure the program for scalability. Because if this is a model that works for one school and we can eventually grow it, this could really be a long-lasting partnership that can make systemic change.
Richard, how do you think that the work of the research faculty partnership will integrate with other Native Waters project activities?
So part of this partnership that we'll have at the Ani Nakota College, we're going to put out a meteorological station. It's one of several. Some are already out and some that will also be out in the future. And this will just be one of those. So that data from that station, not only will we use that in our research project right at the college, but that data from that Met station will actually go and be integrated with the data from all the other stations. So that's part of it. We have data that also that we'll be collecting about irrigation. You know, how does less irrigation water affect crop productivity? And that obviously translates to other areas, other tribal lands that have to deal with water issues. And so things we're going to learn there are directly apply to other regions.
Megan, do you have any thoughts as to how this research partnership might help support the goal that we're working toward with the Native Waters Project of building climate resilience?
Absolutely. In its essence, this project aims at supporting resilience through capacity building. The quintessential essence of resilience is being able to respond to change, being able to deal with change in a sustainable way. And being empowered with the ability to ask and answer questions that are important to you, whether you are a researcher or a student or someone working in the natural sciences, we hope that people who participate in this project will leave with an even stronger ability to respond to things like environmental change, changes in climate, changes in water availability, and also enhance the health of the communities in which they live and care about.
Besides this faculty partnership program, are there other educational opportunities for students who want to get involved with the Native Waters Project?
Absolutely. There are some really exciting opportunities coming up in the future with Native Waters. Every year we hold an annual summit in which we bring partners working on the project, partners that are in the communities that we're working with, as well as extension agents together, what we call the annual summit. Our 2017 summit is going to feature a youth day in which we have activities related to asking questions, what's important to students, showing what career pathways are available for people interested in these issues. We also have had several graduate student opportunities for tribal and non-tribal youth who are involved with researchers who are on the project, and there are other ways for graduate students to get involved. If this is something you're interested in, you can reach out to us by way of the contact information on this page. So lots of really exciting ways to get involved if you are interested in education.
Richard, is there anything else you want people to know about your work?
I think I would just add that I think there's lots of potential possibilities for collaborations with other tribal colleges. There's lots of different things that we do here at DRI, from water issues to other climate change issues. You know, we've been talking a lot about water, and that's the main focus of the project, but there's lots of other issues that are out there. And so I think there's different things that we can do to collaborate with lots of the tribal colleges to bring more research capacity to those colleges.
And Megan, how about you? Anything else you want people to know about your work?
I would encourage you to check out the other podcasts that are available in this stream if you haven't already. Native Waters also has a Facebook page, and there you can find updates on what's emerging out of the project. In a similar vein, if you are interested in experiential learning, I am currently piloting a citizen science project called Stories in the Snow, and we have a Facebook page that you can check out as well. This project involves taking pictures of freshly fallen snowflakes with a smartphone and a macro lens, and then our snow scientists look at the shape of those snowflakes, and they can tell something about the evolution of a storm event or what's happening in the atmosphere at the time. So if you're interested in getting involved in science and you're in a place where it snows, I really recommend you checking that out.
Great. Well, thanks so much to you both for telling us about your work. We look forward to hearing about how the partnership program turns out.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Funding for the Native Waters on Arid Lands project is provided by the United States Department of Agriculture National Institute of Food and Agriculture. Music for this podcast came from Poddington Bear on the Free Music Archive. If you'd like to learn more about the Native Waters on Arid Lands project, please visit our website at nativewaters-aridlands.com, where you can find more episodes of this podcast and also supplemental information to go along with each episode. Thanks for listening.